Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on, and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener's unique ability to smell spirits gives her comfort in knowing her lost loved ones still visit. A find at an estate sale appears to have been a bargain for a good reason. While working in remote Scotland, a listener's husband returns home with a rather unique story. And could the spirit of a child in a former textile mill be haunting the business that now occupies that space? Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again. Jenny will be joining us for the broadcast here shortly. She is on her way back to the studio right now. And I thought, well, we need to start doing the show. So I asked permission. I said, Can I just start recording and then you get here, you join us? Okay, great. And normally I would just wait around, but I'm kind of feeling icky today. I went into the doctor finally to ask about that cough that's been plaguing me for the last several months. Because last night on the show, when we were doing it, like right before the show, all of a sudden my throat just, it felt like I was hit with a softball or something, like in the jugular. And I didn't know what to make of it. Like, what's going on here? And it continued just feeling really, really just sore. And I thought I could just kind of wait out the spring allergy season by taking, you know, Mucinex and such. But I don't know, whatever the heck this was added on top of it was just a bit too much to I think, handle on my own without at least getting a little doctorly advice saying, hey, let's just take a look at this. Just make sure that there's nothing, you know, crazy going on here. So I got a couple antibiotics, and they're going to try and wipe out whatever sort of infectional thing is going on in my sinuses that's leading to this fun throat issue. And I'll continue to try and talk. I figure it was kind of important to get that taken care of when your throat's really sore and you do a talk show. Yeah, kind of a big deal to make sure that you got that under control as best as can be. So from what I can tell right now, it is under control. I'm just going to say that. Okay. I'm feeling okay. Throat's a bit sore doing this, but with a big glass of tea, I think I can get through the show. Just saying, in the next couple of days or something, if there's a missing episode or something, you probably will know why then. It's probably because I just needed a little time to recover the voice. But as long as sounds can emanate out of me, I will do a show. As long as I got a glass of tea or something for me to help get through it. Even if eventually the show's like, if that's what it sounds like, I will still do the show just for you. Okay, if it's that bad, I probably won't. But I think I've only lost my voice like once in my life. And it was really disturbing because it was like, what do I do now? I don't know. It was just, I had no idea what to do. And luckily it came back like only after a day or so. So I just rested. But it's the only time it's like ever completely gone away. But I think we're a couple steps away from that happening. And hopefully we can knock this out before it gets to that point. Summer colds. I hate them. I don't know if this is a cold or what. But anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Melinda writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Melinda. I live in upstate South Carolina. Love your program and listen to it every evening while I sit at my computer, play cards, and unwind from work. First of all, I need to tell Jenny to be thankful she discovered her empathetic ability or empathic ability and spiritual sensitivity at such a young age. I was 50 when I finally found out I was not a certifiable nut." It's good you got some clarification there on what was going on with you. I could see that, but the thing is, I mean, empathic behavior and things of that nature for a long time were just kind of brushed off to the side of, you know, whatever, you know, whoever was making the judgment. And then a lot of, you know, people just kind of believed it, unfortunately. But it is a thing, and it's not a bad thing. I'm, in fact, an empath, a spiritual sensitive, an energy healer, and a person with the gift of clarification or clarification. I can smell energies or spirits. Maybe this is, I'm still reading this wrong. Clarifol, this is one I've never seen before, and Jenny's not here to help me. Let's try again. The gift of clarification. I think I said it correctly now. Clarification. By Menon. Living with these gifts, and this is the gift that to smell energies and spirits, living with these gifts was very difficult when I didn't realize I had them. I was deemed high-strung or overly sensitive. I took things to heart and let things bother me, but I couldn't help it. It was who I was. As an adult, I had to take medication to be able to function in a world that was too bright, too loud, and too active for my sensibilities. But now that I know what and who I am, I have learned to shield myself and appreciate my particular gifts. Having said all this, here is my ghost story. My uncle had developed Parkinson's disease. When he finally became disabled with it in 2010, he needed someone to help him with chores around the house, drive him to doctor visits, do his shopping and cooking, separate his medications, etc. At the time, I was out of work, so he asked if I would be his personal assistant. I was happy to help, and the hourly wages were much needed. One day, while I was cleaning his room and making his bed, I smelled my granddad standing right next to my uncle's bed. My granddad, my uncle's father, had passed away 31 years prior. While he was alive, he always carried a box of Ludens cough drops in his shirt pocket. If his voice got weak or scratchy, he'd pop in a cough drop to soothe his throat. It was this particular smell that I related to him from my childhood. My uncle was in the living room at the time, so I went to ask him if he had just taken a cough drop, or if he had had any cough drops in the house. And he told me, no. I asked him again, was he sure he didn't have any Luden's cough drops in the house? He said no, he didn't. I told him that his dad, my granddad, was visiting us then. My uncle totally did not believe me. When I went back into the bedroom to continue my work, I told my granddad, hi, that I couldn't see or hear him. But the strong smell of his energy lingered in that same spot for about 15 minutes. Then just as suddenly as he had come, he was gone. At least I got to enjoy the visit. This happened another time with my grandmother, my uncle's mother, who had passed away 26 years prior. Her energy appeared in his bedroom in the same manner as my granddad's had, only she was hovering near the window rather than on the bed. Her spirit smelled of ladies' face powder. That's the only makeup she ever wore, so I immediately connected the scent to her. Again, I told my uncle about the presence of his mother, and again, he did not believe me. I, on the other hand, went back in the bedroom to enjoy the sweet-smelling presence of my long-deceased grandmother. Fast forward to January 2015, I was no longer working for my uncle by this time. His Parkinson's disease had progressed so rapidly that he now required a skilled nursing home to minister to his physical needs. On January 9th, 2015, my uncle passed away. After that, I began smelling cinnamon every day out by my front door. I couldn't figure it out. Every time I went in or out of the house, I smelled cinnamon. I know how my gift works, and I knew that smell was a spirit presenting itself for recognition. I assumed it was my uncle letting us know he was okay, but I couldn't figure out why his energy would particularly smell of cinnamon. We had his funeral a week later. While family visited after the service, I asked his son if he knew why or how cinnamon could be connected to his father. I told him how I smelled it in the same spot every time I went into or out of the house. His son said that big red cinnamon gum was his father's favorite gum and he never chewed anything else. His son was sure that his father was letting me know he was okay. My cousin was so relieved to have a sign that all was well with Dad. After the funeral and my discussion with my cousin, I smelled the cinnamon smell one more time. I'm certain it was my uncle thanking me for relaying the message to his son. After that, the smell was completely gone. I believe my uncle felt the urgent need to let his family, especially his son, know that he was okay. In his last days, he was completely unable to speak, eat, or even move, so I'm sure he wanted to say goodbye. He knew from back in the days when I had worked for him that I could sense spirits through smell, and he knew that his beloved son would recognize the scent of his cinnamon gum. All was well now. His message had been delivered, and he could go on to rest in peace. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. I have a few more to share with you, but I'll save those for another day. Blessings, love, and light. Melinda. So my question about it is a logistical one, and it's a very good story. Thank you. Thank you for writing in, Melinda. Do you have, like, paranormal grocery stores in the afterlife where you can go buy cinnamon gum? A little big red? Or can you just, at your own choosing, emit a scent to the targeted person essentially on demand? Any scent you want. Or in the afterlife, are you just given the gift of essentially unlimited whatever you want? Like, oh, I want some big red. Bam, you got to think of big red. Oh, I want rum and coke. Bam, you got a rum and coke. Whatever it is. You just got it. And then you can emanate that smell or whatever it may be to those around you. That's my question when it comes to the scent things. And it makes me wonder, how often do we, just as regular folks, smell spirits? How many times have you been into a situation or at a store or just, insert random location here. How many times have you been in a random location and suddenly you're like, what is that? Why does it smell like coffee cake? You know, or whatever, in a place where there really shouldn't be the smell of coffee cake or whatever random scent you're picking up. You just kind of brushing it off going, maybe someone came through here with a coffee cake. Or, you know, the odds are like slim to nil, but you're just kind of like, well, there's no other way to explain it. And you usually don't go to the paranormal route with it. You just kind of brush it off as, it's just an anomaly, whatever. How often, when we have those experiences, is it something paranormal? It's going to make me really think about that now when I have one of those moments in the future. You know? It's just something you can't really escape from. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you're not an EPP yet, extra podcast person, please consider signing up to being one. Got so many good extra things coming your way. Of course, EPPs get all the bonus episodes, great episodes there. We are beginning the climb to episode 50 of EPP. We've gone over the 40 mark, and now we're about 10 or so away from hitting that that 50 mark, and it's going to be an awesome episode when we get there. So you want to be part of it when that happens. We're also going to be having that the new EPP website opening up very soon with all of the episodes on it for access to our EPPs. It's a login website. All of our EPPs will get a login, and you can create your password and all that fun stuff, and then log in and get the episodes and all sorts of extra bonus video content that we're going to be putting up there on a very regular basis, like the Ask Tony and Jenny segments, and there's a whole bunch more. We're actually beginning to work on a little bit of a video set, if you will, for some upcoming interview shows and segments that we can kind of have up long term. Jenny's working on designing it right now. You guys have seen the studio now, but we're going to add this extra piece in. It's kind of like being in high school, you know, when you're making a set for a play or something. It's kind of what we're doing, but we're going to make it a little bit nicer than that and really put some serious time and effort into it. And it's going to be spooky as hell and reminiscent of a rather famous haunting. Anyway, it's going to be a fun set. We're going to have a lot more extras for our EPPs. A lot of great video stuff coming up very soon. So please sign up, support the show, keep us on the air. And you get all those added extras as a thank you and a benefit of being the folks who keep this show going. Just click Become an EPP on the website at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's only $5 a month. It's like the cost of a cup of coffee. In some cases, cheaper than many cups of coffee. Last time I was at Starbucks, I was like, are you serious? Really? This is what you get for a cup of coffee? Really? Wow. Okay. I'll go over here to the water fountain. Thank you very much. All right, let's go on to our next story. Emily writes in. Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Emily, and I absolutely love your show. Just discovered it a few days ago while searching for ghost stories on YouTube, and I've been binge listening for the last few days. I have a story I hope you'll be able to use for your show. When I was a young girl, about 13, I used to spend a lot of time at my grandma's house. I made friends with some of the kids in the area who are also around my age. One summer, I asked my grandma if we could have a sleepover in the backyard with a couple of my friends in a big tent. She said yes and even agreed to make us snacks. That night, as we were in the tent waiting for the snacks, my friend said, "Let's tell ghost stories." So she told us a story that was not really that scary. Then my other friend told one that was a little scary. My grandma showed up and had fresh grilled cheese sandwiches. I asked my grandma if she had heard of any really good spooky ghost stories. She told us one that she called Hairy Toe. It's about an old woman who went out in the woods to dig up some roots to cook for dinner. She finds a great big hairy toe, takes it home, cooks it, and eats it. This is like a childhood tale, I remember, I think. And the ghost of the giant who the toe once belonged to begins to haunt her, saying he wants his toe back. We all laughed and thought that one was gross, so I said, "Come on, Grandma, I know you have one more scary than that." She started telling us about something that actually happened to her. She said she used to love going to estate sales all the time and would buy little things that caught her eye. One day she found this really interesting looking cuckoo clock. It was carved with leaves and birds, and she bought it for $20, which she thought was a great deal, and took it home. Once at home, she cleaned it, polished up the old wood, and it was getting close to dinner time, so she left it on the table in the office to work on it later. In the kitchen, she heard a loud song and the cuckoo noise. At first, she was happy because she figured, oh, it works. Then after cooking for a while, she remembered that it was not battery-powered. She had to plug it in, and she had not plugged it in yet. She thought maybe my mom or uncle had plugged it in and continued preparing dinner. After dinner, she went to check on the clock and examined it. Clearly, no one had messed with it. To her, that clock made the noise without being plugged in, but she kind of put it out of her mind and went to bed. During the night, she was awakened by the sound of the clock making a little sound, but it did not make the cuckoo noise. She went back to sleep. In the morning, she woke up to find the clock hanging up on the office wall, ticking away. She thanked my grandpa for hanging it up for her, and he said, "I didn't do that." She asked my mom and uncle. They had not hung the clock either. This was a little creepy to her, but she still dismissed it and let it go. As time went on, she noticed the clock would cuckoo at random times, and the clock's time would seem to speed up and slow down for no reason that she could logically come up with. She took it into a local clock repair shop. After a few days, she went to pick it up. The man at the shop told her it was a beautiful clock. It was worth much more than she had paid, and that it was in perfect working condition. He said it had kept time perfectly for the last couple of days that he had it. He even oiled the inner workings of the clock and said it should work just fine for her. So she took it home. For the first few months, it was working perfectly, just like the man said. Then, one day, there was a very bad thunderstorm. Lightning had struck a tree in the next-door neighbor's backyard, caught on fire. It had also blown out the transformer that supplied power to the whole neighborhood. They were without power for about 9 hours when the clock was still ticking and coo-cooing the whole time. My grandma said for some reason this really got to her. She talked to my grandpa about it, and they decided that maybe they should sell it. A few days after this, things started to get weird. She'd come home and find the office very messy, as if someone had knocked things around and off the desk. The curtain would be closed when she got home, leaving the room very dark, which she never liked, the curtain closed in her office. Then it went back to not keeping the right time again. And that was it. She was done. The very next day, she was determined to sell it to the clock shop owner. She asked Grandpa to come with her because she did not want to be alone with it in the car. It really freaked her out by this time. She sold the creepy old cuckoo clock to the shop owner, who was more than happy to pay her for it. After she finished telling us this, we asked if anything else had happened in the house since then, and she said, no, the house is safe, don't worry. We told a few more stories and then fell asleep in the tent. Hope you enjoyed this story, I love the show, and want to become an EPP soon as I can. Thank you, Emily. Thank you, Emily, for that story. You'll love being an EPP, Emily, so can't wait to have you as a part of that community. My grandma had a cuckoo clock that was really creepy, but I think what was more creepy about it was what was hanging right below it. It was like a Norwegian-esque cuckoo clock, and my grandma was very much Norwegian and had all sorts of different Norwegian knickknacks and stuff around it. Just my mind kept going back to her old cuckoo clock that would hang there. What do you think? Do you think it was something paranormal? Do you think it was a badly timed cuckoo clock that had some extra juice in it and would just go off by itself? I'm going to go with paranormal. It takes some energy to do that on even a clock. And if it's not being powered, it should not be doing that. I'm going to go 100% paranormal. When I was thinking, like I said earlier, it was hanging below my grandma's cuckoo clock. And I've seen this object one other time at a flea market and was like, oh my God, I haven't seen that since the one I'd seen previously, the one time in my life at my grandma's porch by the cuckoo clock. It was this like perfectly round old woman face that was wearing like a checkered bonnet. And it was just a scraggly, scary looking lady. And you put this little disc at the end of a string right below it. And then she'd make this cackling, creepy, horrible laugh. And the tongue would stick in and out as it laughed. And it creeped the hell out of me. But of course, me being me, every time I went to grandma's house was, hey, can we go pull the string on the scary lady? And sure enough, did it all the time. I have no idea what happened to that. That's something that if I knew where it was or who had it, I would love to add that to the office. It's one of those things, if I ever do find one somewhere at like a estate sale or a flea market or an antique store or something, I'm going to have to buy, and I can show you a picture. But if anybody else out there like knows what I'm talking about, if they've seen that exact same object, and if you do, send me a picture, because I'd be curious to see if that's the same one that creeped the hell out of me as a child. Well, hello, Jenny Brewski's joining us. Oops, I got to turn your microphone on over here.
I need my headphones. I can't hear anything.
There you go. You can't hear the voices. There you go.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Just talking about, we just wrapped up the story of the cuckoo clock.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just talking about how it reminded me of the cuckoo clock that my grandmother had and the creepy object that was next to it, which I think I've talked about before, was that lady with the creepy tongue that would go in and out of her mouth and make the cackling laugh when you pulled on the string.
That's just the creepiest sounding thing. I've never seen one of those.
We'll find one somewhere someday. I've only seen like one other one in my life at an antique store somewhere, but
okay.
I want to get one and put it in the office.
Okay.
It'd be great for it here.
Yeah.
So anyhow, moving on to our next story here. Our phone number, by the way, 855-853-4802. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost story with us. Katrina writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. Hope you're keeping well. I'm a relatively new listener from Glasgow, Scotland. I'm also planning on becoming an EPP very soon. The story is actually about what happened to my husband, Stuart, a few years ago. He had to work at the Castle Douglas at the border of Scotland and England. He was staying in an old family-run guest house. Anyway, all the guys from Stewart was working with him were all staying in the same place due to how remote they were. Stewart had come on the job a few weeks after the other boys had started. The boys had started to wind Stewart up about the guest house and being haunted, and specifically his room. Stewart had been allocated a room at the very top of the guest house after a few nights of nothing happening and not really looking for anything to happen due to the exhaustion he was experiencing working 16-hour days. On his fourth night, he was awakened to the feeling of someone with their hands clasped over his mouth for what felt like forever, but was probably only a few minutes. The next day, he spoke to the owners of the guest house, and they said that the guests had requested a room change due to their experiences. There was no chance for a room change due to the fact that the guest house was fully booked. The next night, Stewart was sound asleep, and all was quiet, with it being late at night. The TV was on standby mode when all of a sudden it came on blaring very loudly. As you can imagine, he shot up out of bed with a fright. After taking a minute to calm down, he turned the TV off, went back to bed, heart still beating a million times a minute, and it came back on again. This happened about four or five times in all. The final time, he was turning it off at the wall when he looked on the TV screen, and the background he could see a tall figure in a trench coat from a different era. With the build, he reckons it was a man in military gear. At that, he was fraught with the door and ran downstairs and slept in his car that night, too terrified to go back to his room. But by luck, he was able to change rooms the following week and didn't experience any more paranormal activity. I have a few more stories to tell you of activity my family and I have experienced, one of which only happened in November of 2014, which was terrifying. Thanks for allowing all your listeners to share our stories with you. Keep up the good work. Oh, and let Jenny read some of the stories, which would be nice for a wee change. Take care.
I might have to read stories if your voice doesn't get better.
Well, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you are.
I took some medicine. I've been drinking some tea and, you know, bantering as I normally do. I was pretending I was you earlier, actually.
Oh, I'm sure that went over real well. I can't wait to hear that.
We had a great conversation.
What?
And I'm really glad we're able to. Excuse me.
And just what did we agree to? Did I agree to anything?
Well, you'll find out.
Okay. I need a doppelganger just for these types of moments.
Just to fill in every now and then. And today it's Jenny's doppelganger here on Real Ghost Stories Online. Our phone number here, 855-853-4802. We call it a Real Ghost Stories Online. May writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. Running a story way back in one of Tony's earlier solo episodes. It was about a house my parents bought in the northern countryside of Minnesota. How it used to be a domestic violence shelter. The story was in the Real Ghost Stories, a Haunted Morgue episode, just in case your listeners wish to hear the story. I wonder why this story totally slips my mind when I first wrote into you, Tony, but I guess it was a pretty strange experience for me and something I sometimes don't really want to recall. The story also took place in that same house and is going to sound totally unbelievable even now. I don't know if this really did happen. If you can recall, about my first experience in that house was with the radio that was unplugged in my brother's bedroom. Now, the radio turned back on after a while of being unplugged. Of course, that did freak me out, but like most bad memories, they tend to fade away with time. My eldest sister and I did end up moving into my brother's bedroom after he moved out. You would think I'd known better to not move into that room after such an experience, but being a young teenager, and your sister always gets her way, I ended up moving into that room with her. For some reason, it was fine, and life went on pretty great. My sister at the time owned a flip phone. Yes, flip phone was still a thing back then. We were just taking photos and goofing off like normal teenagers. It was only after I started to flip through the photos that I was horrified at what I saw in one of the photos. There was a photo of me smiling, and above me, there was an outline of a thing. I said thing because it did not look like a person or anything I had ever seen before. It did have eyes that seemed like it was popping outish and strange arm-like arms that wrap around my shoulder. I threw my phone onto the ground and yelled for my sister, who was also in the room. She walks over yelling at me, asking why I threw her phone. Quickly explained to her about the thing, and she opens her phone to look at the photo I was talking about, only to tell me that she didn't see anything on the photo and that I was being stupid. I grabbed her phone and took another look at the photo. The thing was still there, but no matter how many times my sister looked at it, she couldn't see it. Only then did I realize that that thing meant for me to see it only, which just pissed me off because the idea of it playing around with me just didn't really sit well with me at all. I did end up deleting that photo because I was so scared, mad, and wasn't thinking. Really wish I didn't, but it would have been something to see if others can see it too. Thank you for reading my story. Love the show.
That would have been interesting to see if anybody you came along in the that you came along with in the future may have been able to have shared an experience and you'd be like, hey, can you see anything in this picture?
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting that just she could see it in the photo.
I've always kind of wondered that about folks who are sensitive to certain things, if sometimes, you know, obviously in just reality, they're able to see things and sense things that others are not, but do they have that same ability when it comes to a captured piece of material like that, like a photo or a video? Will they be able to see something that others won't?
See, I don't know. I would think that anybody would be able to see an entity in a picture.
Sure. I mean, that's kind of why, you know, you have ghost hunting and people go out to catch the orbs on the camera,
mm-hmm,
that otherwise a lot of times you're not seeing, or EVPs that you're not necessarily audibly hearing, but maybe a sensitive would be picking up on.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the interesting thing, where in those cases, once they're on film or on camera or whatever, everyone's hearing them.
Do you think that because it was still on the phone itself, that the entity was somehow manipulating it instead of like a hard copy picture that had been printed or something like that?
I don't know. If you're both looking at the same photo at the same time, I don't know how it would be able to do that.
I don't know.
I mean, I get like the idea of, oh, you pass the phone to this person and it's gone. You pass the phone over here and it's there, mm-hmm, you know. But if you're both looking at the exact same thing, I don't know.
I don't know.
I suppose anything is possible.
That's a new one for us.
It is. It is, and it makes everything just that much more confusing. Des writes in, like most of the listeners who write in, I also have had a few interesting events in my life. I wanted to share a story about one of the places I've worked at. I was working at a publishing company 20-some years ago. The building is two levels with a basement. The publishing company I worked for, I'll keep the name anonymous, was in the top floor. You could take the stairs up to the office or ride the glass-walled elevator. Once at the landing to the second floor, there are white wooden double doors that lead right to the front reception area with desks for the receptionist as well as the CEO and VP offices. These front offices are, of course, locked on weekends when the office is typically closed. Working in publishing is not a 9-to-5 job typically. I was at the office almost every day to stay on schedule with the several monthly publications I worked on. During the course of my time there, I mostly heard many unexplained sounds, and at one time I saw something. As I said, I worked almost every day. Lots of Saturdays were spent working on layout of pages for the magazines I was involved with. And in the beginning of my employment, we did not work with computers. I don't even think desktop publishing was even a word. I created a page layout using galleys, or in other words, lying out printed words onto boards using adhesive wax, my X-Acto knife, and a drafting table. Wow, that's so 19-something-ish. It's amazing how, you know,
mm-hmm,
it's a skill. I mean, that really is an amazing skill. I mean, to be able to do it really well like that.
Yes.
I mean, because, I mean, now on computers, they kind of makes it, you know, somewhat. There's still skill involved, but so many automatic things are in place.
You had a lot more chance of screwing it up.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very, very much so. Continuing on, I'd go into my cubicle and switch on my radio or pop in some cassette tapes and get into my zone. The building was beautiful in the daylight, and the large windows brought in so much natural light that it was quite a peaceful environment to be in. The area of cubicles was large as well, and surrounded with large windows. And then offices with doors lined the other side of the cubicle area. These offices were naturally lit as well. While working on a Saturday, and by myself, I would be in my zone, and then, as if someone was directly behind me, I could feel a presence. It wasn't a feeling of dread, more like someone watching and waiting for me to come to a stopping place in my work before interrupting or wanting to tap me on the arm to get my attention, but not in a way of emergency, just in curiosity. When this would happen, I typically would slowly lift my head and turn to see if someone was there, but nothing. This didn't stop me from coming into work by myself. Thinking back on this, I wonder why I wasn't more frightened. So I'd been in several positions in the publishing company. I worked there for 7 years. In that time, I had 3 managers. I worked for 3 different times. My job changed. It wasn't anything tragic with the 3 or anything, though. I will say all of the managers I worked with, or for, were tragic in their own right. By the 2nd or 3rd year while I was working there, we'd gotten an in-flight magazine I was now going to be assistant to the art director on. This art director was named Will. He was very wound or uptight kind of person, very anxious, and everything had to be to the T with this guy. I learned a lot from him, good and bad. I describe our working relationship almost as a brother-sister relationship, almost from the start. We both used to watch Mystery Science Theater 3000, but who remembers that show? I do.
You do?
I remember that.
I don't remember that.
I believe Comedy, was it Sci-Fi or Comedy Central it was on? I think at a point it was on both networks.
Uh-huh.
I think Sci-Fi originally. I don't remember.
Okay.
It was a really, do you remember what it was about at all?
Mm-mm.
They essentially watched old movies.
Okay.
Like old, like classic, essentially ones that didn't have copyrights on anymore.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like 3 or 4 characters. Like one was a human, one was a robot, one was, I forget what they all were. But they just make really snide, dry humor, satirical comments about the entire movie.
That sounds like fun.
It was hilarious. And it was really smart humor, too. Uh-huh. It was really good. I remember like watching that with my mom when we were on vacation somewhere that had cable.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh my gosh, cable. Oh, that show was on. We didn't know what it was called. It was kind of like, oh, that weird show with the old movies. That's what that was. I think they even made like a movie about it once. Anyhow. Me, because I'm kind of one of those people who likes the odd and funny, which is probably why some things tend to seek me out, or perhaps I them. Anyway, Will and I were working on Saturday, and we had come in around 9 a.m., and then we're going to leave at around 2 p.m. But before we left for the day, we decided we wanted to play with the intercom system, because it was Saturday, and that's how we do things in the advertising world. Now, I don't remember what we were saying or perhaps singing, but we knew for a fact that nobody was in the building except for us. I was standing in front of Will's desk facing him, and he was behind his desk facing me as we did our intercom comedy hour at the end of this Saturday workday. There is a walkway between the cubicles that led to the front of the reception area, and the desk we were at was positioned in a cubicle just near the windows. It was about 10 feet from where the walkway to the front of the offices, which led directly to the reception area at the front of the office. Will's cubicle was literally the last cube before you got to the reception area. Again, this was Saturday. No one is there except us. And all the office towards the reception area were locked. And that's when I saw it. Just as we put the phone back down on the cradle and ending the comedy relief time, something ran past and towards the front reception area. Will didn't see it. He only heard the footsteps as they passed. Then he just looked at me a bit, wide-eyed, and gave a short gasp as if embarrassed by our little intercom fun time. Stunned from where I was standing, I could only see with my peripheral vision, but I could see that something had passed by. I had also heard that something passed by. And this is what I also understood. It was not very tall. I could actually tell whatever it was roughly short. We're feeling like it was a child size. Will said, "Who was?" And I said, "I don't know, but I think we need to leave now." We stared at each other and heard nothing else. This was odd because we should have heard a door open to the landing outside the office. Perhaps we should have heard something or someone asking, "What are you guys doing?" But we still heard nothing. We pulled our things together to leave, and as we walked to the front door, we saw nothing else pass by. We heard no one. We called out, "Is anyone there?" We went to the reception area because that is where it should have been. As I mentioned earlier, all the offices up front were locked. We even looked in all the places the figure could have gone, but nothing. But it was something. In the same period of time, the editor of the magazine, who Will and I also worked with, had a death in her family. Her father passed away. One afternoon, I had gone to the restroom to wash my hands, and I turned off the water and heard soft sobbing. It sounded like it was coming from the last bathroom stall. I thought it was Angie, the editor of the magazine we worked together with. Since my own father had passed away only around 3 years prior, I was going to ask if she was okay. Before I said anything, I noticed that none of the doors to any of the stalls were closed. I bowed my head downward to see if any feet were visible. I wonder if perhaps Angie went in the stall to get some toilet tissue to wipe tears, but no one was there. But someone was there, just not anyone visible. I walked out of the restroom. There's a few more stories about this place, but these were by far the ones that stuck out to me these past 20 years. I've looked for info about the building, and the only thing I can remember is someone telling me that it was a textile mill at one time. I don't know how true that is, but my gut tells me that the activity I experienced was a child spirit. I used to get these uneasy feelings when I would go into buildings and take those stairs up to the top floor. A vision in my mind only. The vision was of the half-man, half-bull figure. The top half was a bull. The bottom was a man. It was eerie, and I don't know why it came to me so vividly. And my assumption was and is that if this building was indeed a textile mill during a time when child labor laws did not exist, perhaps children were mistreated. Perhaps a strange bull man was a supervisor of these child workers. Perhaps some not so nice things occurred. Maybe that feeling of being watched was a child spirit interested in what I was doing, or the figure running from our intercom antics was a child running in fear. I hate to think of any child being harmed, but these ponderings came to me so long ago, I've never let that go. So I know you like more details about history. I'll look into this more as I can. I notice as I get older, my sensitivities to the unseen are not nearly as keen as they used to be prior to having children. You know, they tend to drain energy as much as any spirit. I joke with my husband that children are poltergeists in training. I swear it's true. My 2-year-old loves to stack chairs and does a lot of bumping in the night. And the 11-year-old has been reading my thoughts since he can talk. I'll share some of those stories another time. I hope you like this story enough to make it to your wonderful podcast. On a final note, I have to pay props to Tony for constantly making me laugh and putting this show together. It's been, I've been listening to the show since the first episode. Jenny does a wonderful job keeping a solid perspective. Jenny, your stories on the Christmas massacre made me cry. And you're a wonderful storyteller. Keep it up, y'all. Dez from NC.
Well, thank you, Dez, for that. And, you know, I would be willing to bet that you should go with your gut, and that's probably exactly who the little shadow person is. It's probably somebody or something from when that building was a mill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like sometimes the most logical explanation for an illogical topic is the one you got to go with.
Sure, and I would completely agree there. I think that's very likely what's going on in that situation, especially. You know, you just get the feeling you have a bit of a piece of history there. And do you think the child was scared by the intercom singing?
No, what I think is the child thought that was pretty funny and came out.
Okay. I was wondering if he was, because, you know, just the concept of the intercom, if it was like, where are these voices coming from? The ghost was scared of the random voices coming from the...
No, I'm thinking that it knew they were playing around and that it was time to have fun. And that might be why it just couldn't help but show up.
I remember in the haunted radio station that I used to work at, my first one back in my hometown, we had an intercom system, and it would be something that we would always abuse It was just, I've never been at a station where everyone's more like children, and it was great. It was a great group of people. Probably like my favorite station I've ever been at. And it's still, when I go back and visit, people are still very much like that. The most of the circle that was there back then is not so much there anymore, but some are. Anyway, we would always be picking up the intercom. And I can still, to this day, remember what you press 70, and then you're on your phone and to every phone in the building. I don't know why that code just came back to me. I haven't used it in almost 20 years. But we would, start belting out Celine Dion songs. We would be, making strange noises. Just every inside joke, it would all be going through the intercom. It was a lot of fun. But I do remember a couple of times, because those phones are always so weird. When I was there at night, I would see, you could see where all the office lines were. It was, all like the different extensions.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way they lit up solid is if someone was on one of those extensions in the other part of the office on the phone.
Okay.
So during the day, they're lit up on and off. Your salespeople making their calls and this and that. But at 11:30 at night on Saturday, when I'm in there doing the nightclub show, suddenly you'd see these things on. And like a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
I still to this day don't know how to explain that one. But I also do remember the intercom, it sometimes would also do the beep beep. Because it's like the letting you know someone's a message is going to be coming across the intercom.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go, just the phone tones. And then usually you get somebody doing their little shindig thing. And there was a lot of times, be there at night, beep would come across, and nobody, there's nothing.
Oh, wow.
And thank God there was nothing that ever came across after that. I think I would have been really freaked out if I'd heard a ghost voice,
uh-huh.
Coming through the intercoms. But it was always just that weird feeling, because once it beeped open, it was essentially an infinite opening.
And just kind of like waiting.
You're just waiting. Because when it closed, it didn't like beep off. Uh-huh. It was just like, are we going to hear something? Are you not? And you can override it by just another person jumping on the intercom. It would cancel out the previous person's. But you just sit there like, do I hear something? And you put kind of your head close to the phone, listening for that air sound. And it was a fun. It was hard to tell. But never had any voices come across, but it would activate at times. Maybe it was just a really faulty, messed up, badly implemented phone system. I don't know. We had some questionable engineers at the time. We had a great one, then he left, and then like the cousin's brother or something took over, and it was like nothing ever worked correctly again. But if I remember correctly, a lot of the stuff was still going on even when we had a good engineer. So,
and you had to hit specific buttons.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not thinking it's just faulty wiring.
I don't think so either, but I'm just kind of like, you kind of logically pull things into your mind to try and make them not as creepy as they are. Even though I'm the person, who's hosting a ghost show.
Uh-huh.
You still do that. Try and reason it down a little bit.
Right.
So, I don't know. It was a fun place and a fun time. Maybe sometime we could do a ghost show there.
I don't like that building.
And talk to people.
I don't like that building.
Oh, I spent like 8 years of my life in that building.
Yeah, but I don't like that building. I spent 8 minutes in it, and I can tell you I don't like that building.
Come on back in. We'll do a whole show.
You go right ahead.
It'll be great fun.
All by yourself.
I survived.
Yeah.
Did it mess me up at all?
We don't know that for sure.
Oh, it was a good place. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And as I was saying earlier, if you like the show, support it. Keep us on the air, please. It's only $5 a month to become an EPP. Get all the bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week. And very soon, that EPP website is going to be up and running, and all sorts of extra video content, way more beyond than just the extra episodes, which are awesome to begin with, but a lot more extras as well. Really, really making the EPP thing a really cool value for you for keeping our show on the air. So check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you in advance for supporting the show, or thank you if you already are an EPP. And I do want to address something in that last letter at the end where it said, thank you, Tony, for putting together the shows. This day in age of the show, every episode, for the most part, is curated by
Jen. Oh, well, thank you.
So we should be thanking her for putting all of that stuff together. I kind of work on the technical end of things, but as far as the content that you're hearing every day.
Well, I appreciate that, but we wouldn't have a show if it weren't for you, and I was not going to hit you upside the head if you didn't say anything about the end of that email.
I felt you kicking me under the desk.
I didn't touch you.
And what was that?
I don't know.
Well, that was weird. I'm kidding. There was nothing kicking me under the desk. I could have really played that up.
Yeah, you could have gone a couple of ways with that.
I did. All right, until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.